You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith, and today's episode is called
Man of the House
or Woman.
Man of the Woman. Man of the House or Woman.
House of the Man.
Hand mouse.
Wait, is this a Dr. Seuss episode?
It's called, either way, we're talking about who really gets to be the boss.
Mm.
It is not an episode about Tony Danza, just so we're all aware.
Oh, okay. I was confused when you
That was called Who's the Boss. For all you young folks out there, Tony Danza had a TV show called Who's the Boss.
Wait, hold on. You got to go back. Who's Tony Danza?
He was a baseball player, believe it or not, who became an actor. That's really not what this episode's about.
Shout out to Tony Danza.
Oh, Tony Danza. Anyway, so today we are talking about gender equality in evangelical marriage and family.
Because it is a thing.
It's deal.
It's a real thing. So we've noticed that Christians come under attack, or I won't say attack. It's not really attack. It's criticism.
It's pretty dramatic to say it's attack.
We get attacked in the street.
No, not us at least.
We get criticized for being either hypercritical or, excuse me. Normally it's you.
Let's try that in. Let's run that back. What do we get attacked for?
We get criticized for being hyper-traditional.
Uh-huh.
Or super liberal, which what that really means is we're either male chauvinist.
Uh-huh.
Or we are being those crazy liberals who are female dominant.
Yes.
But there's this reality that we have equality in our marriage that offends both extremes, that really flies in the face of both of those.
Yes. In our culture, we seem to try to pit people against each other.
Well, they were pitting them together, we wouldn't have any issues.
There'd be no issues. No, we're trying to put people against each other.
Yeah.
And so we build these false dichotomies and we say, you got to fit into one of these molds. You're either this or you're that.
Yeah.
And we completely exclude the middle.
Right.
And so what we're going to be talking about is division of labor in the home, outside the home. We're going to talk about kind of how we found freedom and grace in what Christ has called us to in our marriage,
right.
As well as how that had to transition a little bit from where we came from.
Right.
So I'll just tell you, we don't follow traditional or what people consider like a patriarchal or a hierarchical. Cool. We don't follow those roles in our household because we know that the house runs best when we're all doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
I love the saying, like, you live here too. Like, it's not my job to do all this stuff. It's not your job. Like, we live in this house together.
Right.
And so the way we look at marriage, the way that we look at family is very much we're a team and we are in this together.
Yeah. So sometimes what that means, because you said, you know, everyone does what they're supposed to do. And I know some people already hear that, like, oh, you mean there's some things that one of you is supposed to do and other things that one of you is not supposed to do. And it's not so much about that. Basically, like, sometimes I do the laundry and sometimes Nick does the laundry.
It's true.
Because it's not about, for us, for our marriage, for our household, it's not about whose job it is. It's about what needs to be done, because that is, in our understanding of biblical marriage, that is how a synergistic marriage works, one that has all the parts working together to fulfill the greater mission. Yeah, because if it's always about, well, that's your job, that's not my job. And you know what? I know that those of us who have lived with roommates, that's okay to have that understanding in a roommate situation.
It can be because
you know what? That's your room. That's not my room.
Yeah.
That's your stuff. It's not my stuff. I don't have to worry about being responsible for you. You're your own person. This is your space. But in a marriage.
Yeah. In a family,
we don't draw those lines in the sand or in the laundry over who's going to fold what or put it away, because it is a job that needs to be finished.
That's right.
And we all have the capacity and the ability to complete it.
And you know what's cool about just culture, right? Because a lot of this is cultural.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the the family of origin, where you come from, you're going to come to the table, you're going to come to the marriage, to the relationship with different understandings of the roles of men and women. If dad traditionally did this or stereotypically did this thing and mom always did this thing, then I'm going to expect my husband or my wife to step into line. But for me personally, being raised in the household I was raised in, my mom and my grandmother were very strong women influences in my life. And my mom used to have this saying. She would say, "I'm the baby, the pet, and the pimp." That was her saying.
Ooh, mom, I need that on a t-shirt.
I don't think you do. I don't think I will not buy that shirt for you.
Okay.
but what she meant was mom was the one who got her way. Mom was the one who got her way all the time. And living in the house where mom, that was her attitude. And there was just her. She was the only woman in the house. It was my dad. It was me. It was four brothers. Like we did everything that we needed to do to make that household run as a family.
Yeah.
And so if we would have waited for mom to cook and clean and do the dishes and mend our pants and darn our socks. Like, I don't even know if people darn socks anymore.
I don't know what darning means.
Darning.
Other than a like, word that I use.
It's different than shooting. So darning is what you do to
and
socks.
And shucksing.
And shucksing.
Okay.
But if we were waiting for mom to do all that stuff, we would have starved because mom was doing some other stuff.
Yeah.
And so we were all taught growing up. My grandmother, again, my grandma and grandpa were married forever, it seemed.
Yeah.
But even though they had boys that came home, they taught us everything. So we were taught how to cook. We were taught how to clean. We were taught how to stitch up, do like a whip stitch on something if we rip our pants. Or, like we were taught how to do all the things that other people would think are domestic things or like those are girls' jobs.
Yeah,
I remember my dad telling me like, you should never have to depend on another human being, man or woman, to provide something for you that you can do for yourself. So like if you need to cook, if you need to eat, you shouldn't be like, well, I need to get a girlfriend or I need to get a wife because otherwise all I know how to make is ham sandwiches, which if that's where you are, hey, no condemnation.
No judgment. I'm just saying a little bit of judgment.
What I'm saying is that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
That we were taught these things so that we didn't have to wait on another person.
Yeah.
And so when I came to the table to this marriage, our my idea of the division of labor was completely egalitarian at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember that because for me, it was different.
Yeah.
I grew up in a house with, I mean, I had two parents as well. Also, birth order affects some of those things. Like
that's
when you're
true.
Influenced by older siblings, which I wasn't growing up.
No, Kylie is firstborn and I am last born.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that also affects marriage stuff, but that's for another podcast. But yeah, the division of labor growing up for my household was very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
That I know that my job was usually the kitchen and the bathrooms. And the living room, like to tidy those things up. And then my brother was responsible at a certain age for mowing the lawn, taking the trash out, helping with the yard, just different things like that. And it was very clear that that was my job. Like as a female in that household, this is what females do.
Yeah.
You do the laundry. I remember so many times doing laundry and it was clear to me later, like, that wasn't something that everyone was supposed to do. It was just usually it was the females, or usually certain roles or certain jobs were done by myself, my mom, my little sister. And so not that was bad. Like it still taught us the value of hard work and responsibility. But coming to a marriage where my fiance was taught that, you know,
everyone
can do everything. It was kind of like, well, wait a minute, then what? But I have jobs that I'm supposed to do.
Well, and where it really played out in our marriage, I remember when we first got married, I remember looking and being like, hey, are you going to just keep stacking trash on there? Or are you going to actually take the trash can out?
Like, that's not my job.
Like, I don't take the trash out. I'm Kylie. I don't take trash out.
No, it's, I've never done that because I'm a girl.
Hey, girls don't take
trash. Girls don't take trash out.
And the whole time I'm like, look, take the trash out. Like, you see it's full. Like, we're looking at the same trash can.
Right. And I remember it also was a thing with the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm cooking dinner. And I have a husband who loves to cook and cooks very well.
I do enjoy to get down
in that
kitchen.
And so we learned very early on that, you know what, maybe we need to plan out who's cooking dinner this week because we both wanted to do it.
Here's how it actually went for those of you listening. I have control issues. I'll own that. And I've gotten a lot better because
yes,
there was a time when my wife would be cooking a delicious meal, but my job at that moment was to stand over her shoulder and to question every decision she was making.
What is that? What are you putting in there? What,
are you going to stir that?
But did
what temperature did you set that at?
Did you check on the chicken? It's in the oven,
okay, that's
right?
Going to burn. You might want to flip that. That's going to burn.
Oh, you didn't bread it? You're just going to leave it?
Just going to go ahead and... So okay. That's how you cook fish?
That's not how I ate it growing up. But that's not how mom made it.
That's not how I cook it.
That's not how I cook it.
You want me to cook? Here, why don't you sit down? I'll cook. And eventually, Kylie Jo, once we got married, she said, listen, stay out of my kitchen.
Yeah.
When I'm cooking, stay out of my kitchen.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. That's and vice versa. When I'm cooking... Go ahead and have a seat. Relax. Right, let me cook.
I mean, we had to learn that. We both had to understand, like, okay, this traditional, like the wife comes home or the wife is at home and makes the 4-course meal by herself and doesn't. That's not how it was going to be in our household.
And truthfully, that's not how a lot of households function.
Yeah, I don't know many people that do that.
I can't say I know one person that does that.
Yeah, I don't. Truthfully, seeking that. Because there was a point early on in our marriage where I was like, I'm going to be... Kylie Jo homemaker, and nothing against like that isn't
Kylie Jo maker.
Kylie Jo, I wanted to do that because it's what I understood was being a good wife, was making sure that your husband doesn't have any housework to do, and making sure that he has his meal ready when he gets home from work. And when we didn't have children, I had a lot more time to commit to that, to be able to go to the grocery store and get fresh flowers or get a steak and all of these things that I was doing. And honestly, I was striving so hard for that image, but it wasn't fulfilling.
Yeah.
Because it was doing it based on a presumption of how marriage should look.
Yeah. And it wasn't anything we ever talked about before we got married.
Yeah. It was just, okay, we'll get married and we'll figure it out.
That's just how things go. You do the stuff that, and we came to marriage with our own preconceived notions, our own understanding of what the world was supposed to look like. And then when those two things clashed, when my desire to not have to take out the trash and your desire to not have to take out the trash clashed, then you get trash on the floor.
Right.
And that's when conflict happens. That's when you start to see issues in the relationship. And so one thing that we had to pick up was this idea of submission.
Mm.
And in our household, submission. I know a lot of you guys and gals, a lot of you folks out there, hate the dreaded S word, submit.
Yeah.
But it's like a trigger word for some people. You say submission to some people and they just like tense up and like, what do you mean submit? What if?
Yeah.
And all this stuff goes off. But, to the believer, to the Christian, submission is a part of all of our callings.
Yeah.
And for a relationship, any relationship, but especially Christian marriage, submission has to be number one in that relationship.
Yeah.
And before you have, you know, turn off and be like, he's telling all women to submit. No, mutual submission is what we're talking about here. And Kylie, I remember we had this conversation after we'd been married for a little bit, because I am not a follower by any means, but I have to learn, I've had to learn how to be a leader.
Yeah.
Because I'm very much, I was a loner, I guess. I just did my own thing.
Yeah.
And when it came to marriage, I would think like, why isn't my wife submitting and following?
And I would think, why isn't my husband leading me? And because I'm a natural born independent
leader,
persistent leader.
Yes.
And so I'm leading. I'm in the leader's chair, whatever that's called, captain's chair.
Leader's chair, that works. That's fine.
There's a chair for the leaders. Yes. They get their own. And so early on, I was like, well, why isn't he leading?
And the whole time I'm like, well, if she's just going to lead, I guess I'll let her lead. I don't want to fight about it. Mm-hmm. But there was this constant like, well, you need to submit. Well, you need to lead. Well, I'd lead if you'd submit. Well, I'd submit if you'd lead.
And I so
we kept dealing with this issue and we had to, truly lay our cards out on the table and say, okay, this is what my expectations are.
Yeah.
And this is where I need your help to support me in this area.
And when we women, or I'll say women who are like me, we tend to do that.
Yeah.
Well, he's not doing it the way I want. I'm just fine. I'll just do it myself.
Yeah.
But what that does, I will tell you from experience, is it does not make you a strong woman. It makes for a very weak constitution in marriage. It makes for a very weak understanding of mutual respect and love and compassion. Because if all I'm going to do is, well, fine, I'll just do it myself. He's not going to lead. I'll just take care of it myself. That rolls over into every other area. It will roll over into your finances. It will roll over into household work. It will roll over into parenting. It will roll over into the way that you speak about your husband to other people. And that's where we get this culturally accepted idea of man bashing. I'll just call it that.
Goodness,
of speaking poorly of our husbands, our fathers, as though they're dopes who can't put two and two together.
Right.
And I completely disagree with this method of marriage from a woman's, from my perspective. I think it is totally demeaning to a woman as well, because we weren't made to be that way. And if you look back, I like to go back to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back.
The Garden of Eden, for those of you who are unaware.
My own personal garden.
I just go to my garden and reflect.
That I haven't planted yet. but if you go back to that story, I kind of wonder if Eve didn't have that mentality herself. Like, well, there's something that I want that I think we deserve and we should have. And Adam, knowing what stipulations were put out, knowing the boundary of
what
grace.
What God had already said to him.
Was like, nah. And then Eve saw it. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just going to go after it myself. I just wonder if that's not a small sliver of that remnant of that.
That's interesting.
Action. Because when we do, that's what it is. It's like, well, he's not going to lead. Well, fine. I'm just going to figure out a way to do it myself. And that's not beautiful marriage.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a way to create a marriage that people look at and say, wow, those two are completely sold out for each other's good.
Yeah, they're definitely glorifying God. And on the other hand, the demanding of submission by a husband is not what we're talking about either. We're not talking about a husband coming home and saying, well, you're supposed to submit to me. And so anything I say, you need to do. And when I want cuddling time, you better be ready. And when I want food on the table, submit. And if I want to spend all our money on guns and hunting and fishing tackle, it doesn't matter what you need for the house or what you need for your career or what the car needs to be. You just submit and let me do it.
Well, and that makes me think of a pastor that we had heard preaching about, not specifically about marriage, but you remember, you know what I'm talking about.
Dude.
And he was just he was talking at women.
He was talking
marriage.
Crazy talk, talking
and
real
it was
reckless.
So demeaning. And almost insulting to the men, but it was demeaning to the women of just, you have to submit no matter what because he's the man. And really what we're saying there is because of the biological components in his reproductive system, you have to do what he says.
Yes, that
no matter
that
what.
Somehow creates a consistent, clear thought in the mind and perfect leadership
just because of what he has.
You have different bits. Different parts.
Which I don't know the biological argument for that.
I can't say that actually connects. And this is hard for Christian marriage because there are passages in scripture that talk about wives submit and husbands love. And there's all these verses. But what we miss is when you take context, you take the entire Bible into context, we see over and over and over and over and over again that the true way to love someone, to agape love someone, is to mutually submit. It's men who are in Christ should submit to their elders. They're supposed to submit to each other out of reverence for God. Husbands are supposed to love their wives, and men and women in marriage are supposed to submit to each other, which is looking out for the best of the other person, wanting the good for the other person. And when we have this consistent barrage.
Is that French?
I don't know. Beret. When you're wearing a beret. When you're getting bombarded, let's just go with that.
That's a good word.
Bombarded.
Yeah.
With all these traditional, as they're called, arguments for marriage, you get this idea that, well, Christians just believe that women are supposed to shut up, know their place, and men, you can do whatever you want because your wives have to listen.
Yeah.
And that is not biblical.
No.
And that is dangerous, actually. We know of stories of women who were in abusive relationships and seeking biblical, scriptural guidance were told, you have to submit to your husband.
Because he's your husband.
Because he's your husband. It doesn't matter that you're being beaten. It doesn't matter that you're being abused. And that is wrong.
Yeah.
That is outright wrong and not the heart of Christ.
One of the scriptures that tends to get used. What is it called? A clobber verse?
Clobber verses, yeah.
Okay, so it gets used as a clobber verse for those situations. But when looking at it, just as it is in Ephesians 5. It says in verse 22, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And I'm going to stop right there because we hear wives submit to your husbands. But we forget that in there it specifies submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And the part about that that sticks out to me, other than the discomfort we have with, well, I don't want to submit because then that means what if he's wrong, right? I get it. But the issue we tend to have as women, especially in this culture, is we'll submit to the idea of a husband as we see it in our friend's marriage.
Ooh.
I'll submit to the idea of a husband as I see it in a pastor that I admire or someone that I follow on social media or a celebrity who, man, you know what? I bet they're a great. That is not submitting to my own husband.
Yeah.
So this wording of that is not just meant to say, woman, just shut up and listen to your man.
Yeah.
Woman, do not look outside of your marriage for a husband that you've been given, for a man who wants to lead you. He is right in front of you. You don't need to look at someone else's husband. You don't need to look at some other man and fantasize about him being your husband.
Yeah.
That's what that scripture says.
Well, but if you just back up one verse, what's the verse right before that?
Right. Say? Yes. The verse right before that is a good one. Well, I'm going to read, well, it's the whole thing.
Just read the verse.
Yeah. So the verse right before it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So then,
so the context for women who are listening and like, well, that's unfair that scripture says wives submit to your husband. That verse comes right after, being told everyone submit to each other.
Yeah.
And then specifically wives submit to your own husband, husbands love your wife. Wives. And the word love used there is that agape. It's that word of selfless love that doesn't seek its own good, that doesn't seek its own benefit, but only seeks the betterment and the benefit of the other.
So that definition in and of itself gives an image of submission.
Of submission.
So even though the word submit is not like, it's not explicitly there for a husband.
Not in the English translation. No.
The understanding of submission is.
That's right.
And this is why you need to study scripture.
Come on now.
Beyond what you see on the page.
And what you hear people
say.
And
what you hear people say is you need to get inside of this word, and you need this word inside of your heart. It cannot just be women, you're supposed to do what your husband says because, and men, I guess, love them.
Yeah.
No, this is a picture of a continual mutual submission.
Yeah.
It is intentional. It is at times scary.
Yeah.
Because, I just married this person. And can I really trust that they're going to, I don't know. But yet when we submit, and I love how it says out of reverence for Christ. So really the question becomes not, well, do I want to submit? But do I have the kind of reverence for Christ that I can display by trusting and submitting to this person? That's do right. I have that level of reverence for my Savior who spared nothing for me? Do I have that kind of reverence that I can then sacrifice and submit and lay down my right to be right?
And just putting this out there again as a disclaimer, we're talking about a typical marriage, not an abusive one.
Exactly.
Please listen, please hear. If you are in an abusive relationship of any sort, get out of that bad boy right now.
Yeah, and do not
find help.
Do not accept the counsel with quotes around it that just because he's your husband, you have to submit. That is not biblical counsel.
No.
Not good biblical counsel.
No. So we're talking about if you have just a typical marriage that you have your ups and downs, you have your arguments, you have your typical struggles, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Where submission is so important. And you had mentioned trust a few times. And I like that idea because trust and submission are connected.
Mm-hmm.
People don't submit unless they have a sense of trust.
Right.
And you can't just submit to someone you don't trust. Hopefully you can build trust with someone before you marry them.
Hopefully.
And if you've violated that trust, you have to deal with the consequence that there's going to be a lack of submission until you are able to recultivate trust.
Yeah. So we hear people say, well, trust is earned. But the flip side of that is what?
Trust is also given.
Right.
So trust is earned. Yes, you have to show yourself to be trustworthy.
Right.
But ultimately, the person who is to be the trusting one
has to give it.
They just have to trust at some point. At a point in time, you have to choose to trust the other person.
Yeah.
And so this idea of mutual submission is mm-hmm. what Christian relationships are about, because it's only in mutually submissive relationships do we see the beauty of agape, of Christ-centered love that transforms and really just goes outside of our understanding of human relationship.
Yeah.
Because when you see a couple, you know, we know of some couples that were influential in our dating and mm-hmm, marriage mm-hmm. And seeing them love each other even in hard times and having difficult conversations, but still choosing to trust and choosing to submit.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, wow, they're really awesome people. It was like, man, God's done some good stuff in their life.
Yeah.
And it was us being able to look at their relationship and see Christ.
Yeah. And that's the point of Christian marriage.
That's right.
Lest we forget, it's not about people saying, oh wow, she's such a great wife. Oh wow, he's such a good husband.
Yeah.
No, we should have, in the church, we should have marriages that are so beautiful and mutually submissive that people look at that and say, wow, that is an image of Jesus that I don't see elsewhere in the world, because he submitted himself to the will of the Father, knowing that he had the power and the ability to say no.
That's right.
And that's what submission is. When we know, you know what, I could fight this. I could argue and kick and scream and have my way and be right, but I'm choosing to submit because I trust this person. I trust that what they are asking or saying or what they're deciding on, I'm trusting that that's for my good.
Yeah.
And ultimately that it's for God's glory.
Amen. That's good. So what we want to do is we want to give you some practical applications, and hopefully something that we've said today has been encouraging and has been edifying, but we want to give you some more tools that you can use in your relationships, in your parenting, or in your, if you're just dating, or if you're engaged, hopefully if you are on your path to marriage, things you can learn from our journey and our path and our understanding. And the first one I want to start off with is if you're coming into any relationship with the mindset of who gets to be the boss, who gets to be in charge? Okay, who gets the last word in this situation? If that's your goal from the beginning, you have to repent right away, because mm-hmm. your heart is not in the right place to begin with.
Yeah.
If at the very onset of any relationship, you have to determine a power structure, then
it's not relationship.
It's not relationship. You're dealing with a warped heart at that moment.
Yeah. And going forward, if you've had that mindset, if you're already married, you have that mindset, the repentance thing is key, but confessing it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Go to that person, go to your husband, your wife, and say, look, I am sorry. I have been seeking my own will. I have been demanding my own way. I have not been loving you in the right way. Because you can repent of it and you can, you know, I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to do it anymore. But if you don't make it known to that other person that you've been doing it wrong, you could have been stirring up some hurt in them.
Some resentment that's going to come out.
Yeah.
And stop looking at relationships as a means of maintaining power structures.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Here's what I mean. So there's this joke that if you have an overbearing boss, chances are they don't have much control at home. And so there's this idea that if you have someone at your job that's just always on you, it's like, man, their husband or wife must really wear the pants at home.
Gotcha.
We start to look at relationships, whether it's spousal relationships or any relationship in our life, as a way to maintain or to gain power in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at our relationship, especially marriage, and this happens a lot of times, either men trying to maintain a patriarchal view of mm-hmm. power
mm-hmm.
and putting their identity in that, or a lot of times women who are identifying with a radically militant feminist view, not just a traditional feminist all are equal, but a militantly feminist view that women must maintain power over men.
Mm-hmm.
We look at our marriage relationships as the means to gain that identity.
Yeah.
So if I can make this person submit, if I can be in charge, then I really have the upper hand, or then I know I'm truly a man or I'm truly a woman because I've got power in this structure.
So that's an identity issue.
That's an identity struggle.
As well.
So stop looking at your relationships as a means of maintaining power structures.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to apply to your relationships is for believers, is understanding that biblical relationship is about mutual submission.
That's right.
Which also means seeking the betterment of the other person. So this is something where Nick has said before, like, we don't you don't purchase trust or affection from me. We don't, I'm only going to do this so that you'll like me.
Yeah.
Instead, what we do is we find those ways to serve that person or give to them of our time, our attention, our affection in ways that we know speak to them that maybe don't speak to us. Like, I'll just be real. I'm not like the most affectionate person.
What?
I know you know that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were telling me I was weird. It was weird for a minute.
I wasn't raised with that, with a super affectionate household. So like for me, physical affection, holding hands, those kinds of things are not my quote unquote love language, not to use that term too much. But yet for my husband, who is very affectionate, part of that sacrificial submission and what is the word I'm looking for? Sacrificial submission is being willing to show affection,
yeah,
and giving into that and experiencing it together.
Yeah.
So yeah, find those ways that you can love on that person, that their love language, whether it's quality time or what have you, and really submit to that for their sake, for their betterment.
Yes. And it's not to get anything in return.
Right.
This is something that I know men struggle with a lot. I don't know if women do, but I know men struggle with this a lot. It's, well, I did all this stuff now. Or are we going to get our alone? Are we going to get our alone time now? And the struggle is, especially for men and women of God out there, your identity and your fulfillment has to be found squarely in Christ.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to use your relationship as a means to find physical, emotional fulfillment that's going to let you down.
Yeah.
Because there are times where the other person, for whatever reason, they've had a bad day. We're sinful, broken people.
Yeah.
They're not going to be thinking about your good at that moment.
Yeah.
But that doesn't give you a right to stop thinking about theirs.
Yeah. Because what's that golden rule that we love to quote? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
That's right.
Like, do for them what is good.
What you want them to do unto you.
Want them to do for you.
Not what they've already done or what they're going to do.
Right.
What you want them. And that's that sacrifice. Being willing to give up something, even if you never get anything back in return.
Yeah.
Only because I want to see you prosper.
Yeah.
I want to see you happy. I want to see you fulfilled with joy and just living in Christ to the fullest. And so, mutual submission.
Yeah. We talked about Ephesians 5. With that submission piece, if you want to look at that yourself. Again, know that submission is never demanded.
No.
Otherwise, it's not submission, it becomes domination.
That's right.
So we don't, practically, we do not say to the other person, you have to submit to me, and you must. We don't put them in a submission hold. that's only for wrestling.
And then the other person taps out.
And that's not marriage. Done. That's not good.
Yeah, we don't want
that. We don't do submission holds.
No.
And I'll say this again. We also don't hold out on things until we get submission.
Yeah.
And some of y'all know what I'm talking about.
That's just a different type of submission
hold. We don't hold out on things, ladies.
Come on now, preach.
Men.
Come on now.
We don't hold out on things until we get what we want. That's domination and manipulation. Yeah. We don't do that.
Yeah. And you don't submit in an abusive relationship. Don't submit to someone who is wanting to devalue the image of God in you.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what we're talking about. Again, we just have to overstate this.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of baggage on the word submission, and there's a lot of baggage on relationships, because it's the first place we damage people, the people who are closest to us. And so please hear us and hear us clearly, hear us well. Don't submit to abuse.
Yeah. Verbal,
emotional,
social,
psychological,
physical.
If you are in that situation, you need to have the conversation. You need to get the resources needed to step away from that safely, get counseling, get it figured out.
Yeah.
Because that's important.
Yeah.
And mutually cultivate trust. We said that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to mutually cultivate trust.
How do you trust somebody?
Well, you trust them. It's an act of will. And you have to trust people in the small things. You've got to give people enough trust to then deem that you can give them more trust.
Yeah.
You can't start by saying, okay, when you prove to me you can be trusted, then I'll trust you.
Because
it doesn't matter what people do. they can always make a mistake. So even if someone seems trustworthy, mm-hmm. you'll never know until you trust them.
Yeah. So you actually give with an open hand, whatever it is that you want to trust them with.
That's right.
And be willing to let them take it.
Because trust is risky.
Yeah.
And relationships are risky.
Marriage. You know, we should have looked this up, but I know you can look, you all can Google it. Look
Give
up
it a
the
Google.
Statistic that about marriages staying together.
It's about 50%.
So half the people you know that are married, just think about that. And you're in someone's half. You're in somebody else's half of people that they know that are married. Just think about that.
Yeah.
It's risky.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee when we stand and we sign the papers and all that. Like it is.
That's why they're called vows.
Right.
Because our vow is to make a decision
Every
to
day.
Honor God in this relationship, in spite of what the world throws at us.
Yeah.
So yes, mutually cultivate trust, trust the other person. Also, you have to live above board. You have to be seeking to honor the other person so that you are someone who is easy to trust.
Oh yeah.
Again, trusting is the other person's option,
mm-hmm.
but cultivating that trust means you have to make the soil ready to receive the trust
yeah.
that they're going to plant.
Yeah. And just as a side note, for those of us that have kids, practical.
That's both of us in this room.
I
keep forgetting people are listening. It's both of us.
For those of you that have children and you're married, the practical application for your marriage, I guess it wouldn't really be practical application, but it's an understanding of applying these things. You're going to witness to your children with the way that you love your spouse. Whether or not you do it intentionally, they see the dynamic being formed.
That's right.
They understand. And I'll tell you, even from a five-year-old, who is our oldest, is 5 and a half, he already sees some of that dynamic. He already understands how mommy and daddy love each other and that our marriage is priority.
Yeah.
Like he gets it. And it's not stuff that we sat down and gave him a chart and said, son, you need to understand mutual submission. He gets it. And so please understand our children are watching us.
That's right. Other people's children are watching.
Oh my goodness. Other people's children are watching you.
And you should be watching other people's children. little suckers. I'm just kidding.
Don't trust them. Don't mutually submit to other people's
kids. To someone
kids.
Else's kids. No, but you have to know that you are a witness to people
Absolutely.
You'll never ever meet. There mm-hmm. are people that are watching you and that are learning, and you may be, you know, that fifth gospel. You're going to be the only gospel some people read.
Yeah.
And your marriage, in its faults, in its flaws, in its shortcomings,
mm-hmm.
Must be saturated with grace so yeah. that you can show people Jesus Christ in all
Amen.
That you do.
Yeah. All right. Well, next week's episode is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. We'll be coming to you from Summer Assembly out in Topeka, Kansas, where Nick is going to be the keynote speaker.
Yes, it's a family camp.
Yes.
We're going to go out and we're going to have a lot of fun. And we will be going mobile studio again.
Woo, woo.
We're trying a different setup this time. So hopefully the sound quality will stay on par with what you're hearing today. So please, please download, rate, share. Let somebody know about the Nick Smith podcast.
Yes. So yeah, we're super excited for you to join us on that. And we hope that this has helped to educate and empower you in your relationships, whether you need guidance in your own marriage or help just understanding marriage dynamics before you get married yourself.
Yep.
Navigating these issues really is important for all of us.
Yeah.
If you have questions or comments about something you heard today, send us a message.
Hit us up.
Or leave us a comment on social media. We love to interact with you more. So this has been the Nick Smith Podcast.
We hope that you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.